There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan.
My brother from another mother.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here. Easy to get in touch as well. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Gets you through on a call or a text. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, can always leave us a talk back message, all right? So just when you're there, there's a microphone icon on the front page. If you'll press that, lets you record a message. You can email it to the show as well. So a lot to do on today's show. I want to just respond to this before we get started with our first guest. The comment there about the visit, right? Today's visit to Russia. Okay, so because John Ratcliffe says, you know, today John Ratcliffe on board U.S. Air Force C-17A Globemaster that landed, I guess, late yesterday at Moscow's airport there. It said, reading this from Twitter, so that happened yesterday, right? It said to meet in very high-level meetings with Russian officials, according to CBS News. So a guy I follow over on Twitter, who has been pretty much always accurate, said, last time the CIA director made an unannounced surprise visit to Moscow was in late 2021, when then-Director Burns traveled there to warn Russian leadership against launching an invasion of Ukraine. This entire trip is slightly concerning and a bit ominous, all things considered. So... we will discuss that as well. All right, you know him, you love him. His work with Wasted Bacon, the musical sensation, The Ballad of Davy Crockett, and you read his work in The Tennessean. Don't hold it against him, but also my buddy Cameron Smith joins us now. Hey, Cameron. Well, do we lose him? There we go. There we go. Sorry, Cameron.
I've been told, being a Tennessean, that we can pay running backs in the Volunteer State $2 million a year. I don't know if the Crimson Tide can even do that.
So, what do you feel about – we could take a second for sports ball here. All I hear is our team's small. We're small.
Yeah, that's not good. But, hey, you got a dynamic quarterback for the Crimson Tide. I'm just hoping the O-line shows up. Ty Simpson almost ended up paralyzed last year. I really, really hoping that it's the year we kind of turn the corner. I don't want to end up in a Mark Richt situation in Alabama where we win 9-10 games and don't see a national championship ever.
How long before there would be a change at the top there if that happened?
If we don't go 5-0, we're going to see a change.
Okay. Keep an eye on it. All right. Big story yesterday hit actually during this show, and the passing of Dolly Parton. And we played some audio there from the family and talked about Dolly's passing. But this is a, you know, watched a text line yesterday, and so many people... talking about their favorite songs or memories of Dolly, all that. Your thoughts on this? I mean, heck, you're in Tennessee right now.
Yeah, this was actually really cool for me growing up in the Nashville area as a kid. Dolly Parton was everywhere in Middle Tennessee at that time. She's actually from East Tennessee in Sevier County. Wow. I mean, most stars, when they die, I acknowledge it and say, oh, and that's about it, right? We don't feel like the stars leave us because they were never like us. Dolly Parton was different. She felt like one of us her whole life, even though she was, by all accounts, a superstar. And there were really easy reasons for that. One, she embraced who she was. She modeled her look after the town tramp, and she owned it her entire life.
But that's why I was just enamored with her from the time I was about 9 years old, 10 years old.
Yes, a whole generation of young men knew Dolly Parton very well.
Even before I knew why I liked her, I'd be like, Mom, she's real pretty. Yes, Sean. She's real pretty. It was like Debbie Harry and Dolly Parton, those two things when I was growing up.
amen to that. And as a teenager, I remember because she had a house in the Nashville area, she still does, actually, she was just a fixture in the community. And it was a real thing. And what she did for reading initiatives across the country, but particularly in East Tennessee at a time when folks couldn't read. Like, it was a huge, huge problem.
Her dad couldn't, right? I mean,
It was a big deal, and she's invested in those things her entire life. She's worked really, really hard. By some accounts, net worth nearing $1 billion.
Wow.
An empire from being a country music singer. But I think more importantly, she may be one of the last great Americans. And what I mean by that is from transgendered queens to NASCAR bros, love Dolly Parton.
Yep.
It didn't matter. Nobody actually. She addressed this her whole career. She said, I'm an entertainer. I want to entertain everybody. And so I don't want people to feel like I can't connect with them. And she really made that a point to engage with folks. And, you know, she made people mad. She talked about vaccines, was supportive of that. She did different things, but she didn't make a big show out of it. She just said, I think this is what I need to do to connect with my people. And that's the right way to do it. And I think that that's why she was uniformly loved across America, really across the world, and reunited people. And I think that's a big, big deal. It's something we can take away, that we don't have to be these crabby, growly people who don't treat our neighbors well. We can disagree. We can have our different thoughts. But, you know, coming around the table together, spending time together, getting to know our neighbors, Dolly Parton stood for a lot of that, the good stuff in life. And we need to acknowledge that and remember that we can do the same thing even though she's gone.
Yeah, well said. I mean, I don't know how much of it's real, because I've warned people, too, just because you see something on social media doesn't mean that everybody's doing it, right? I mean, I did see online the two camps trying to line up that Dolly was theirs, right? I mean, whether it'd be the right or the left thing, like trying to claim her, you know, post-mortem. I don't know why we can't just remember Dolly Parton versus saying, well, she was for this or that. You know, I mean, you know what she's for that I loved is her first charity. Her first love is where she was from. And the idea of making it big and not being like, and I'm going to spend all my time worrying about an animal in Africa or what happens half a world away. She makes sure that folks in East Tennessee, those were the number one priority where she was from. And I appreciated that.
Yeah, she didn't forget where she came from. And I get it. You know, we have our warring factions and it's what we do and it's dumb. but she played that really well. She refused to be on anybody's team. She refused to play their game, sing for them the way they wanted. She was true to herself, and she took care of her people, and she loved them well. And I think that's a good lesson to take away is, and I've had to remember this, that we can be conservative, we can be liberal, Democrat, Republican. The moment that we start saying, taking those mantles, it's easy to lose the other folks on the, you know, they say, well, you're not one of us now. And Dolly Parton just said, no, I'm just me. You can be whoever you want to be, but I'm just me. My identity is who I am. It's not this affiliation or that affiliation. And I think it's something we should be real careful about when we put our name next to a party, a politician, all that kind of stuff. You know, sometimes we send signals we don't mean to or don't want to people who we don't even know. And Dolly Parton was really careful about that.
Well said. All right, people, of course, can check that out over at thetennessean.com. Or if they want to follow you on social media, how do they find you?
At D. Cameron Smith on the X Machine. We should talk about it from 9 to 5, y'all.
Hey, he didn't even know I was going to do that. All right, always, I appreciate it, man. We'll talk next week.
Thanks, buddy.
Tom Bernard. stumble out of bed and I stumble to the kitchen. Pour myself a cup of ambition and yawn and stretch and try to come to life. Jump in the shower and the blood starts pumping. Out on the streets the traffic starts jumping with folks like me on the job from 9 to 5. Working 9 to 5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:21, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars and LCM Sports Motor Cars as well. You went on the hunt for a Camaro yesterday. What was that?
Well, we're back to the point to where if you don't give us an opportunity, we can't help you. Had a customer that bought a vehicle from us before, and he was looking for a 20 to 22 model Camaro 2SS, which is a hot rod, 6.2-liter motor. It's a Corvette motor, and that's what he wanted. And they're out there, but he wanted a certain color. And he said, can you think you can find anything like that? And we sat there, and within 10 minutes, we found the car he wanted, it bought it. He went and got me a cashier's check, and it's on a truck on the way here now. And, I mean, we're talking about just shy of 40 grand, so it's not like we're out, you know, shopping for just stuff. I mean, this is a really nice car. It's coming with the, you know, the Carfax and the guarantee and everything. So if you don't give us an opportunity, we can't help you. So that's the biggest deal, is just at least call us. If you don't see it on the website or something, at least check with us and ask us.
Yeah, I mean, I've done this several times with you, and you could, you know, y'all, if you get picky, like, well, maybe Dave will say I'm picky, but you'll find a vehicle and you say, well, I like that, but I don't like that. And then, you know, then you're like, yeah, well, what about these? And I mean, you just winnow it down, and then you find the right vehicle.
Well, you call it picky if you want to. It's your money.
Yeah.
I mean, how many trucks did I bring and show you? Two or three?
A bunch. And then a bunch of, you know, showed me ones that online, and you know, they do, this one wasn't right, but I, you know, you communicated. I said, I like this, but I don't like that. And then
the one you ended up buying is not what you told us you wanted to begin with.
We're pretty close. But, yeah, there was one part that was different. But, you know, you opened my eyes. All right, people want to do this, you know, whether they want to come check out the inventory that's on hand, which is a bunch, or figure out, use your, you know, techniques to find that perfect vehicle. How do they get in touch with you?
Well, like you said, the inventory on hand is at lcmmotorcars.com. That doesn't restrict us to something that we can find you and get you special. So that's the opportunity we're looking for. If you want to give us a call, 251-375-0068. And if you want to come see us in person, we can do like yesterday. We'll pull it up, throw it up on the big TV, pull the Carfax, look at the ignition reports, and go from there. We can do the financing all for you as well. It's not something you have to pay cash for. We can handle it all right there.
Good stuff. I appreciate it, David, and we'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Have a good day.
All right, you too. There goes David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars. All right, get to some text here. Supermom said, yesterday's topic, and here's the third. Surely you've seen the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Clue, and Home Alone 2. You know, this was sent to me by Supermom sent me the picture. Also, my buddy Ben did. Tim Curry dies at age 80. Well, I am 2 for 3 on that. Okay, I've seen Rocky Horror Picture Show. Been a long time ago. But now I know who you're talking about. Leanna reminded me the same. I saw the movie Clue, I think. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I'm 1 for 3 here, Supermom. But I have seen Rocky Horror Picture Show. I don't know if I saw Clue. I didn't see Home Alone 2. I've seen Home Alone, the original. So maybe I'm 1 for 3 out of those movies. So bad. It's so bad. I wish I could sit still and watch movies. Dirt Digger said Dolly may not have her own children, but she was a great help to them to read and had great places to have fun growing up. I miss her, but I will see her in heaven with God, Jesus Christ, and all the other Christians. Chris in Orange Beach. Laura Ingram had Kathy Lee Gifford on last night. I hadn't heard that name forever. So Laura Ingram and Kathy Lee Gifford talking about Dolly, and to look at Dolly as a monument to great plastic surgery, and there's nothing wrong with that. To look at Kathy Lee Gifford as a monument to bad plastic surgery, and there is something wrong with that. She looked horrible. And she looked horrible. And okay, I guess that's Dolly. Dolly died at age 80, drop dead gorgeous. Absolutely. And a lot of that comes from the inside, too. Jason, hey, Sean, if we weren't notified that Pritchard Police Department was on leave, would anyone have ever noticed? I think they've been on paid leave for many years. All right, there's a that's pretty solid. Yeah, we'll get to that story in a second. One more here. Okay. Squirrel Vereen says, well, dang, Tim Curry was, of course, the Bighorn Darkness in Legend. I have seen Legend. I have seen that. So there's one I have seen. So there's two. So Rocky Horror Picture Show and Legend. So there's two of them. All right. So Pritchard PD on leave. Story from Kyle Hamrick over at Lanyap. The entirety of Pritchard's police force has been placed on administrative leave, a move the president of the city council said she did not see coming. Mayor Carletta Davis's decision to sideline her city's law enforcement personnel came after Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch announced the city will have until Friday, September 4th, to contract with his agency for everyday police services as the city figures out how to rebuild its embattled police department. It's unclear exactly how many officers were placed on leave. A spokeswoman for Davis did not immediately respond for request. District 3 Council President Tracy Hale issued a statement this morning confirming Davis's move and describing it as unexpected. Here's a quote. Said, recent developments involving our police department have raised serious questions about the future of our city's public safety, city operations, and communications between the administration and city council. I was not made aware in advance of the administration's decision to place all members of the police department on administrative leave and only learned of it after the decision had already been communicated with staff. End quote. Now, Hale went on to say she realizes Mayor Davis has, quote, certain administrative authority and responsibilities, end quote, and that she and the rest of the city council need to know what placing PPD on administrative leave means for public safety in the city. And goes on to say, of course, since June, Mobile County Sheriff's Office has been responsible for all law enforcement operations in Pritchard as PPD is being investigated for corruption probe. Now, one of the things here is this, like Jeff and I were just talking about, is this negotiation? Are we looking at, you know, leverage here? You know, you might be doing this in a private business deal. It's not, you know, it's not in the papers, not on the radio like it is in this case. But is that leverage? Like to say, okay, we're going to pull back on the 4th. I mean, if there's a group you're trying to get to capitulate, maybe it's a council, I don't know. But if the sheriff's department makes the announcement on Monday, right, and says, okay, or maybe it was Friday, but sheriff's department says, hey, we're pulling back nothing but major crimes investigations after September 4th, then the mayor decides to put her law enforcement personnel, says, on, what is it, leave, whatever they call it, permanently, whatever, they're on leave, y'all are out. Maybe that is to leverage against the council to get something done that we don't know about, you know, to agree to this, that, or the other. Maybe one of the, I don't know, but the idea, and true, I'm with y'all, the people of Texas said it probably won't happen, this is probably, I agree, it's probably leverage in a negotiation. But the threat of that is extreme, that as of the 4th, which is not far away, y'all, the 4th of September, there'd be no law enforcement in Pritchard. Now, being that it's the county, I think the sheriff's office would still, somebody correct me there, but have to respond because at that point, I mean, the sheriff's department is responsible for the entire county. But, of course, it wouldn't be like a specialized focus on it. They wouldn't be doing dispatch the same way, all that. So what's the next thing? So if nobody is going to do law enforcement, if the city has their people on leave and the sheriff's department says, we're pulling back, we're not going to do this, then are you looking at mobilizing National Guard through the governor? I know that's extreme, but that's if we follow this chain here and say, if this doesn't happen and that doesn't happen, where else do we go? Right, as we head to the news here, Ben says, what about It, Congo, or Muppet Treasure Island? Never seen those. We should do this on Fridays on the show. What movies has Sean not seen? Okay, thank you. Unnamed texture must know me. Says Tim Curry was a medical officer on the hunt for Red October. That's Captain Teach. Thank you, Captain Teach, because there's a movie I've seen, and probably twice, too. How about that? All right, because I've seen Hunt for Red October. Remember being a good movie, too. The book was really good.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along, and always great to talk to our friend from 1819news.com, Erica Thomas, who is has pen and notepad in one hand and fishing rod in the other, as you see her in South Baldwin County and throughout our area. Hey, Erica.
Howdy, Sean. Yeah, I got a fishing rod, but no fish, so we're still working on that.
So since last week, there's no new report on the fishing front?
I've enjoyed the view. That's all I can say.
Okay. We got a trip for you. Remind me later. We got a trip for you this fall. We'll take you fishing in the Delta when it gets good. You'll love it. It's catching. So when it's right, it's catching.
I'm there. Okay. Like I'm already there. Just let me know.
Okay, good. We're going to get that set up. All right. Obviously, a lot to talk about today, and maybe we'll just go straight into the story we talked about earlier this hour. Your headline, cannot continue without a contract. Mobile County Sheriff's Office pulling out of Pritchard, but will continue handling major crimes. This is, to me, maybe I'm being a Chicken Little here, and I do realize it could be part of a negotiation, but this scares the hell out of me.
Yeah, well, I mean, Pritchard in general scares a lot of people.
Yes.
Because we've seen what's been going on there, not only with crime and infrastructure issues, but just kind of the leadership seems to not be on the same page, and that's always scary. When you have a mayor and a council kind of saying two different things, that is scary.
Yeah, is it?
So
I mean, in your reading of this, is it omission or commission? In other words, you know, are they trying to keep stuff from each other for some kind of gain another way, or is it I'm going to do this to make the person look bad in public? I haven't fully grasped that yet.
Yeah, I don't know what the intention is here. I know that there's not really good communication going on, so. No matter what the intention is, it needs to be addressed. It needs to be fixed. I think that Mayor Carlotta Davis is making the best decisions that she can as things happen and as situations unfold. I'm sure that there are things from a day-to-day operation standpoint that she's not telling people because, you know, things are changing minute by minute here. I mean, we are down to the wire as of 6 p.m. on September 4th, that Mobile County Sheriff's Office, the regular municipal level patrols and the dispatch service, that's going to end according to the Sheriff's Office. Now, I don't really see that happening. I don't see Sheriff Paul Birch completely pulling out and leaving those people after all of the work, all of the money, all the investigation that's been thrown into Pritchard over the past 11 weeks now. I just don't see him really doing that unless he knows that there's a clear transition plan and a clear transition for the people, because what happens in Pritchard impacts the county, period. I mean, if things run amok in Mobile County, although, you know, the sheriff said the regular municipal level patrols and dispatch services are hampering the sheriff's office, it's really going to hamper them if they have to constantly go into Pritchard for major crimes that are going down because there's just no law enforcement.
Yeah,
so I just,
in the,
I don't
yeah, because that's the question, would they still respond, right? I mean, they say they're not, but it's still in Mobile County, so it's still, I don't have the bylaws in front of me, but it still seems like it'd be the responsibility of the sheriff's department.
It would be, they would definitely still respond to major crimes and crime scene investigations. They've already said that they would do that. It's just the regular day-to-day law enforcement activity that you won't see, the patrolling, the if you call 911, it's not going to go to the Mobile County Sheriff's Office, that sort of thing.
But Pritchard PD is now, the entirety of who was left has been put on leave. So this very well may be negotiations, but if I take it at face value, it's like you said, and it's coming up, you know, in a little over a week, September 4th. I mean, what are we talking about? We're talking about a city, all those people that are not protected by, you know, for if it's not a major crime, then people just be stealing stuff and walking away in front of them, laughing at it, whatever. I mean, that's horrible.
Well, there are cities and towns that do not have their own law enforcement. So an example of that is a place I used to live. It's Clay, Alabama.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't know this was a thing.
There are places statewide that have this. You know, the city of Center Point in Jefferson County, they don't have a police department.
Do they just deal with Jefferson County Sheriff's Department do the work in that? Okay.
So they contract with the Sheriff's Department.
Sims did.
That's
okay.
What we're looking at here. That's what we need. That's what I think Mobile County Sheriff Paul Birch wants, because then the city pays for those services. It's a lot cheaper than having your own police department, and it really might be a good direction for Pritchard to look into, just contracting with the sheriff's office to cover with law enforcement. I think that would be probably a pretty good option, at least until the city of Pritchard can get all of this sorted out, figure out who their police chief's going to be, and really figure out even if it's worth having a police department at this point.
Yeah, and they, you know, the sheriff, when he was on last time, and I know he's had pressers since, but was saying essentially that, like, hey, we can do that. Here's the numbers. It's a big number the first year, and then comes down the second year, third year, because he's got to hire more deputies, this, that, and the other. So he was talking about it as a deal. And once again, I am not so blind to think this may not be part of a negotiation. But I also can say, if I just read the words that are written, it seems like right now, with not many days to go, there's no solution.
Yeah, that's why the city leaders, the council, and the mayor, they need to really start working together and come together and just communicate and talk about what they want. And we'll see what happens. We still have a little over a week. So, I mean, time is counting down, but I think we'll see a lot of changes in the next several days.
Good, good. Fingers crossed and prayers for that. All right.
No need to panic. I promise you that the sheriff's office is not going to let, you know, these major crimes go by without investigating.
Yeah, the major crime thing.
They're definitely going to do that.
Right, but, and I, you know, sheriff has said that. That's a responsibility. They would keep that. But that's major crimes, which means the major crime has to be committed first, right? So there's no patrolling to keep the major crime from happening. Then the major crime happens. They come in and do the crime scene investigation, those things. That's good. But that means there's no patrol element to keep that from happening. And number two, things that aren't major crimes, like, so people are just going to be, there's no recourse. Hey, guys out here, you know, trying to steal my whatever, right? And somebody come stop them. Sorry, you know, nobody's on duty for that.
When you say no patrols, I feel like that kind of gives the criminals a green light, and I don't think that's going to be the case. No patrols is not going to happen. There's still going to be, this is still part of the county. There's still going to be sheriff deputies around going through every now and then whenever they are called out there. This is municipal level patrols. So that means there's not going to be one deputy assigned to the area to specifically continually patrol the area. But I think you'll still see sheriff deputies out in Pritchard. I think you have to have somebody out there as far as that. A broader public safety issue for not just Pritchard, but Mobile County as a whole.
Okay, let's take it to Baldwin County here, and Fairhope approving consumable hemp license for the pig. The pig over there, Piggly Wiggly. Which, by the way, when you're in a Piggly Wiggly store, just like this one, make sure to register in the America 250 Summer Showcase. All right, this is a side note. So this is back to, you can drink the hemp, you just can't. This is that kind of drinkable hemp, right? This is the drinks.
Yes, that's what the Piggly Wiggly on Plantation Point Road, they applied for this consumable hemp product license, which is similar to an alcohol license. But since the state of Alabama has allowed the ABC board to kind of take over this consumable hemp products to regulate them, now you have to get local approval before you can go to the ABC board to get approval. So that's what's going on with Piggly Wiggly. I didn't even know that there were hemp drinks until this all started coming out. But there was one councilman that was really against it, and that was Joshua Gammon. And I spoke to him after the meeting, and he told me that he's been concerned about this issue for a while, not only because of the negative effects that it might have on minors, but also traffic laws, possible increase in emergency room visits. He said that's the kind of thing that he's seen in other places that have that allow these drinks. And he said his constituents are not in favor of those hemp products. His quote was interesting. He said, "No one I talked to is saying we need additional intoxicating agents." And on the other hand, other constituents or other council members, they seem to be having a different stance on this, and they want to allow it. It's a legal substance in Alabama, and they want the retailers and the business people in the area to have the opportunity to sell these just like everyone else does. So that's what they're doing. And this is the fourth one in Fairhope. They have two liquor stores that have licenses now, Greer's and now Piggly Wiggly. But that doesn't mean that they're able to sell them yet because they still have to go through that ABC board process.
Yeah, which is interesting. I thought about this too. With ABC controlling this and what happened in the legislative, when they did this, so will ABC start having this in their state stores, or will they open, Alabama HBC, Alabama Hemp Beverage Control? I mean, will they have their retail store since the state is, in charge of this?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that.
Uncomfortable.
I can definitely look into it. And next time I drive by an ABC store, I'm going to go in and see if they have them, and I'll let you know.
Right, because if they're in charge of them, the way they're saying they're in charge of, selling the booze directly in the retail, then why aren't they selling the weed drinks?
They might be. We'll see.
I don't know. I have not been to an ABC store in a very long time. So this will be a good investigation for both of us. I'll do it over here. You do it in Baldwin County as well. All right.
Okay, I got you, Sean.
And then we'll wrap it up with this and your story about Alabama leaders remembering Dolly Parton. But before the Alabama leaders, your memories, your reaction yesterday on the passing of Dolly Parton.
You know, this was something that we never really thought of being a reality. I mean, Dolly Parton may have passed away from this life, but I feel like she will never truly die. Dolly Parton was so much more than a country singer. She was an icon. She really was an inspiration to men and women. Everyone loved her. She never had any political side coming against her. Gay, straight, black, white, everybody loves Dolly Parton. She was just such a precious person and so loving, and you could just tell she was true to herself. I've watched so many videos of her over the years. Last night I watched Steel Magnolias in memory of Dolly Parton. That is my absolute favorite movie, Steel Magnolias.
You and 76.8% of Southern women. That's a favorite movie.
That is my favorite. And apparently there's a place in Louisiana you can go and rent as an Airbnb and stay at the Steel Magnolias house. So I would love to do that one day. But in every stage of my life, Dolly Parton has had some type of impact. When I was younger, it was Coat of Many Colors. And mm-hmm. then when I was a teenager, it was I Will Always Love You. And then 9 to 5 as an adult. So I just always have like a theme song that's a Dolly Parton theme song for my life at that certain time. And I think a lot of women feel that way about her. But really, the things that she did for people, her philanthropic work, it's very inspirational. Nationwide, really, she helped children get books that they otherwise wouldn't have been able to have through her Dolly Parton's Imagination Library, which has we have that in every county in Alabama. So, in Mobile County and Baldwin County, there's been children that have had access to books because of Dolly Parton and all that she's done. And I think a lot of times, I remember when I was in college, I did like an interpersonal communication class. And one of the things that we looked at was nonverbal communication. And I think if you judge a book by its cover, you may underestimate Dolly Parton. But when you look at who she really was, beyond the wigs and the makeup and all those rhinestones, she was more than a brand. A huge brand, but also just the things she did for other people, the lives that she touched without even meeting people is enormous. And I think that's something that she can just be very underestimated. And I love her stories. I love watching her videos. And like I said, she'll never really die. She will remain a part of culture in our lives for decades to come.
Well said. Well said. And it's, you know, I mentioned Cameron earlier about both sides, and I really don't think, I warn people too, you see things on social media, they're not your neighbors. I mean, people that are extreme and everything, but there was a push on online yesterday to claim Dolly for this side or that side. I think that's like, you didn't know Dolly then. If you wanted to make sure, like, well, she was a conservative icon or she was a liberal icon. Mm-hmm. She was, I mean, she was a homegirl. That's what I love, too, about her charity. She did charity at other places. Like, you talk about what's done here in Mobile County. We always ran the public service announcements for that here on FM Talk. But, I mean, the focus she had where she's from, and I just love that, I guess, because I'm a homer by nature, too. Sevier County. I mean, what she did to try to get kids to graduate, actually improved the graduation rates well beyond what government could do, or the fires that hit there. She went back in. I remember covering those fires and having the people on from the radio up there, and they were talking about what Dolly Parton and Dolly Parton's foundation was doing for those folks, getting them back in houses and shelter. I mean, she never forgot where she came from, and I love that about her.
Yeah, and she did it with a smile and with laughs. You know, she was just so kind. She's really somebody to want to be like, be a little bit more like Dolly. I can see the shirts now.
That's a great idea. I like that.
A really good idea I saw yesterday on social media was naming the Dolly Parton Bridge officially the Dolly Parton Bridge, and I think that would be a great idea.
Yeah, we had a whole bunch of people on the text line yesterday saying that, say, okay, it's time now. You can make it, you know, the Memorial Dolly Parton Bridge. We'll see if that happens.
Or maybe we should just name the new Mobile Bay Bridge the Dolly Parton Bridge. It's going to be a cable style. We can...
Well, it's that. Hey, that's the biggest humps, second biggest humps in the United States. So we'll, you know, maybe that's where it should be. People want to read these stories we talked about. Go to 1819news.com. If they want to reach out to you about a story you've written, a story they're thinking about, all those kind of things, how do they get in touch?
You can email me. It's erica.thomas@1819news.com. You can also reach out to me on X at Erica T News.
Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. God bless.
All right. There goes Erica, and we're coming right back.
Jolene, 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 I'm begging of you, please don't take my man. Jolene, 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 please don't take him just because you can.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So the deal has been struck. The one and only Adult Norway will join me here after the news. A lot to talk about here. Very busy around FM Talk 106.5, which we like. And we'll talk about not only, you know, we've talked about the high school football. It'll be week two. I don't know. Week one. I always get messed up. I don't know if they have a week zero. The second Friday for UMS football coming up this week. But also, we got the Auburn show starting, all that good stuff. And college pick'em. Dalton will be in to give us all the facts on that. All right, to the text line here. Thank you for the other. I do know Tim Curry. There's now movies that I have seen. Tim Curry movies I've seen. So other than Rocky Horror. So there we go. But most favorite. I guess I just don't remember actors as well. But The Hunt for Red October. Thank you for the others that are texting in. That love that movie. Yeah, so this is. Okay, here we go. Speaking of which. This from Chris in Orange Beach said, I've read every word Tom Clancy ever wrote, but you want to do some really good reading, check out Robert Ludlum, which I have, and the Bourne books. They're about Carlos the Jackal. Turn your boy on to him. Excellent reading. Here's the problem. So I've gotten my son into a little bit of the stuff I like with the James Bond world. And occasionally there's a laser there, 1960s or 70s laser that he likes, but he's just... It better be space, Chris. It better be space, or he's not down. But I do love. I remember getting the Tom Clancy book secondhand from my parents when I was a kid. They were reading them too. My parents were big readers. Let's see, Michael. Is there any difference with no law enforcement, seeing how bad and corrupt their PD was previously? It's just realistically going to go back to what it was previously. Yeah, but I think there were still. It was bad for sure, but there was at least some patrol vehicles. You know, I do think this is a negotiation. I just do fear, you know, just the same way that a year and a half ago or something, maybe more than that, when Sheriff Birch came on. He's talking about he was doing supplemental work in Pritchard. He told a lot of the stories on the air, but he told me privately, like, people in Pritchard calling, going, please, somebody help me. And that gets to me. People have the right to public safety. Pat says, my little girl still gets those books from the Imagination Library. A great, great thing. I mean, Dolly's legacy on that is just doing right, you know? And it's and helping people everywhere, but just, I love the fact she never forgot where she came from. And really focused on those people, too, in East Tennessee, which need the help for sure. All right, coming right back.